John chapter 15, we're reading verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Footballers are happiest when they score goals. You just have to look at their faces as they celebrate. Batsmen love to score runs. The bowler pleads with the umpire to give that wicket. The teacher is thrilled when their students are excited about learning. Bankers are delighted when there's a good return for their investment. Farmers love to see their livestock thriving and their fields bursting with growing crops. And as Christians, we love to live spiritually productive lives, fruitful lives. We hear Jesus' words here as he talks about the vine and the branches bearing fruit. And we want to be like those branches that bear more and more fruit. This is what pleases the Father. This is what gives glory to the Father. This is where there is true joy for the Christian, and this is what we want. You know, if you're a Christian this morning, you read this passage and you immediately think, I want to be a fruitful branch. Of course, two questions immediately come to mind. The first is, well, what actually is the fruit? We want to have it. It sounds great. But what is it? And of course, then we find ourselves asking, how can we produce it? And Jesus tells us here in John chapter 15, in verses 1 to 8, he really presents to us the picture of the vine and the branches. He is the vine, we are the branches. And then in verses 9 to 17, he explains things more, but he's still really talking about fruitfulness, because in verse 16 he talks about going and bearing fruit. So it's all one section, verses 1 to 17. So what we're going to do this morning is first of all look at what the picture tells us about our relationship with Jesus, the closeness that we have with him, the vine, the branches, and then we'll come to those other questions. Well, what actually is this fruit and how can we produce it? So let's start then with this picture. Our first point, we're looking at the close relationship we have to Jesus. That's our first point, the close relationship we have to Jesus. Jesus begins by saying, I am the vine, but not just that. He says, I am the true vine. It implies that there was another vine that wasn't true. Now, if you've read the Old Testament, you'll know that Israel is often described as a vine in the Old Testament. And they received many blessings. They are pictured, as we read in earlier in Psalm 80, as being there in this vineyard. There's a wall around, they're protected, they're cared for. This is the vine, Israel. And yet, in spite of all those blessings, they failed to produce the fruit. And in the end, as a nation, they were exiled.
I'm just taking the caretaker off site for a moment, just to let you know.
Okay, thank you. He's the chap who's sorting out the alarm. So the Israel, as the vine, failed to produce fruit. They were exiled, of course, and they came back, just a small remnant. From that stump, a shoot would rise, a branch would come. This was prophesied by Isaiah and others of the prophets. And Psalm 80 that we read speaks of this vine and how God would raise someone who would actually change the people. Maybe just turn back to Psalm 80, verses 16 to 18. Your vine is cut down, it is burned with fire, at your rebuke your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man you at your right hand, the Son of Man you have raised up for yourself. And I think that speaks of Jesus, who would come as the true vine. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Then we'll be fruitful. The true vine is the fruitful vine. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine. And his people will bear fruit because they are branches of this true vine. It's a beautiful picture. A picture of a wonderfully close relationship between Jesus Christ and his people. And it illustrates what Jesus has already been talking about here at the Last Supper. So, verse 20 of chapter 14. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, we didn't say much about that last time we looked at these verses in John, because I knew that John 15 was coming up. But this close, I am in you, you are in me. And now Jesus illustrates that with the picture of the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches, verse 5. We are united to Jesus, just as a branch is united to the vine. It's a staggering truth. Our lives are bound up with Jesus Christ. In another picture, Paul in Ephesians 2, he writes about how spiritually we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now we're seated here in this room. We're not in heaven. And yet, because Jesus Christ is seated at God's right hand, because we're united to him, Paul is able to say, at least spiritually, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We have been united to him. There are different pictures used of this union with Christ, as it's sometimes called. Being in Christ is the sort of shorthand terminology that often Paul uses in his letters. You have the picture of marriage, how a husband and wife are together. And it's the closest of human relationships. And Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. And the two become one flesh. There's the closeness there, distinct and yet so close. You have the picture of the body. Jesus Christ is the head and the church is the body. And there's that close relationship. And here we have this union with Christ illustrated as a vine. Perhaps with the marriage, the main emphasis is on the love that there is. Perhaps with the body, the main emphasis is on, or we could call it law, the authority of Christ as the head. But here with the vine, the main emphasis is on the life. Without me, you can do nothing. The life in the branch comes entirely from being attached to the vine. You cut the branch off and it dies. I tried this the other day with our vine. And I cut off some branches, and sure enough, those branches just died. It's about the life. We have the very life of Jesus Christ within us. Just as a branch receives all its nutrients through the vine, so spiritually we receive all our spiritual life, all that we need from Jesus Christ. Now, this is a wonderful privilege that's well worth contemplating. When you remember how Jesus sees you as the one that he values, the one in whom his life is, it doesn't really matter then what others think or say about you. When you remember that his life is within you, it doesn't matter that you feel weak. Actually, vine branches are pretty scrawny things. They're very weak. But attached to the vine, they're able to produce those grapes. We, of course, are completely dependent on Jesus. It is impossible to bear fruit on our own. The end of verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. One time I collected some willow branches. You know, if I see logs around, I'm always on the lookout because that's how we heat our house in the wood burner. And I collected some willow branches from Park Farm, I think it was. And they don't make brilliant firewood, but you know, they do at least burn. Takes a couple of years to dry them out. They're quite wet branches, a lot of moisture within them. And we stacked them inside our living room, you know, wood pile there next to the wood burner. And after a few weeks, I noticed one day there was a leaf growing out of the side of one of these branches. You know, a bright green willow leaf. Because there's so much moisture in them that they're still able to produce leaves. But of course they don't produce any fruit, and I had to look this up. You know, the fruit of the willow tree. I mean, it's just a tiny, tiny little thing with tiny seeds. But they can't even produce that. Well, how much less can a scrawny vine branch produce any fruit? It wouldn't even be able to produce leaves. So we are entirely dependent on being attached to the vine. The branch depends on the vine for its life, for its fruit, and actually for its very purpose. You know, I don't like chucking branches out, but I shredded those vine twigs that I cut off. I mean, they're no good even for firewood, and you certainly can't make anything out from them. But to bear fruit, that is its purpose. That's its only purpose, but it is a wonderful purpose. And so this close relationship that we have with Jesus Christ is pictured, yes, as marriage, yes, as the body and he is the head, but here the vine. We are the branches, he is the vine. And it helps us to remember to depend upon the Lord constantly. We always need him. We need his life. We need his help. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But this encourages us when we feel our weakness. We are connected to the true vine. And because we're connected to the true vine, we will bear fruit. His life is in us. So we've considered this close relationship we have to Jesus. Secondly, Let's think about the spiritual fruit. The spiritual fruit that we bear for the Father. That's our second point. The spiritual fruit we bear for the Father. Now we're going to see that actually there are several aspects to the fruit that we bear. And it's even more than simply the fruit of the Spirit. I think it includes that. Because if we go right to the end of the passage, to verse 16, we see that there's more here than simply the fruit of the Spirit. Let me read verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. The fruit is born as they go, that you might go and bear fruit. And I think, not alone in this, many would say here that there seems to be a reference in what Jesus is saying when he talks about going and bearing fruit to Jesus sending the disciples out. He sent out the 12 apostles to the villages and towns to prepare for him to go. He sent out the 72 to do a similar thing. He sent them out in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. And so, at least in part, this is what the fruit involves. It's the fruit of their mission. In a word, converts. They go and they proclaim the message of Christ, that word that he speaks of, and new people, more people, come to know Jesus. Now, I remember when I worked in South Africa as a missionary doctor. I mean, most of my time was spent doing medicine, but I did do a little bit of church work. I, of course, was limited by inability to speak Zulu, but some could speak English. And at one point, they had a couple of pastors who came over from England, and they had this retreat for the missionaries on the mission station. And it was a hugely encouraging time because, well, I couldn't understand the Zulu preaching. And so to have someone bring God's word, it was so refreshing. And this was the passage that they spoke on. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And I found it such an encouragement that as we go out, as we witness, as we seek to make Christ known, Jesus says there's going to be fruit. He's chosen us to do that. This actually is the only purpose of the branch. We'll see later that there are other aspects to this fruit, but it certainly includes people coming to faith. And it's a huge encouragement. They will go, they will bear fruit. And it happened, didn't it? The apostles, as they went out preaching the gospel, hundreds, thousands turned to Jesus and became Christians. And this is why we're involved in evangelism, because of verses like this. This is why you go to Italy. This is why we support the Calverts in France. This is why we support the work of Morning Star. Because we know that it will bear fruit. Jesus Christ has committed, he's chosen us to go and bear fruit. This is what spurred Carey on. I've been reading his biography because I've got to give a paper on Carey in a couple of weeks' time. And it's a hugely encouraging story. A lot of hard work. 7 years before the first convert, in Indian convert. But he was spurred on by the Great Commission to go. He was sent by the churches in the Northamptonshire Baptist Association. And they started the Baptist Missionary Society. And in the end, they bore fruit, great fruit. But let's just pause for a moment, because this is not meant to discourage us. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, I can't think of anyone who's become a Christian through my witness. You know, is it only the likes of Peter at Pentecost and Carey in India who bear fruit? Surely not. Because actually, apart from anything else, it's the whole church that is involved in sending, in giving, in praying. Krishna Pal, that first convert in India, who became a Christian through the witness of William Carey. It wasn't just William Carey. There were hundreds of people praying for him in England for 7 years before that happened. It's the fruit of their ministry as well. And of course, some people never see the fruit of their labours because they're much more involved in sowing. And others involved in the reaping. The parent who's brought up their child in the way of the Lord, and then that child goes to a Christian camp and gets converted. Well, it's not all down to the person in the camp who's led them to the Lord. It's those years of sowing and nurturing in the way of the Lord. So let's not be discouraged because, you know, we can't perhaps name specific people that we personally have seen coming to the Lord. We're involved in mission if we're praying, if we're giving, if we're witnessing. We may do more of the sowing, others may do more of the reaping, but there will be fruit. That's the encouragement. This passage is not meant to discourage us. It's meant to encourage us. I have chosen you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. So yes, fruit involves effective evangelism, but that's not all. And to help us see that, it's worth going back to where we read how the Father wants more fruit. And this actually is right at the beginning, verse 2. The Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Every year, I have to prune our vine. If you just leave it, it'll just become straggly, it'll end up just leaves. Having said that, we don't get many grapes anyway, but that's beside the point. We're not living in conducive climate. The Father prunes. Why? Because he wants more fruit. The branches should produce more and more. But then when we come to Jesus' explanation of the picture of the vine in verses 9 to 17, we see several different ways in which Jesus outlines more or growth, this more fruit. Think of it like this. Verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. He calls us to obey his commands, but there's something more about it. It's obeying as Jesus obeys the Father. There's a new quality to this obedience. Obey just as I have kept my Father's commands. Then verse 11. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus wants us to have joy. But there's something more about it. It's his joy, my joy, just as he gives my peace. It's a joy that will be complete, so that there's more here of joy. So there's a greater obedience, there's a greater joy. Likewise, love, verses 12 to 13. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And so he commands us to love one another, but there's something more about this type of love. We're to love as Jesus does, even to the point of laying down our lives for one another. This is more fruit. We could perhaps even add verses 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. We're to relate to him, not just as servants, but something more, as friends. He brings us into the inner circle. He lets us know what his Father is doing. You see, these are the more things. A greater quality of obedience, greater joy, greater love, love even as Jesus does, a greater closeness, friends, not just servants. We could really sum up what Jesus is saying here like this. Jesus wants us to be more and more like him, to love like him, to have his joy, to obey like him, to relate to the Father like him. And this is part of what it means to be fruitful. The fruit we bear is both as we go out in mission, but also as we become more like Jesus Christ. As we relate to the Father in the way Jesus relates to him, in love, in obedience, as friends. Now we can all be more fruitful. You know, whether it's just one grape, well, you can produce two. If it's three massive bunches, well, maybe you could produce four. We can always produce more fruit. So whatever stage you're at, if we're going to call it that, we can always be more fruitful. And the Father prunes us so that we can be just that. Do you obey Jesus' commands? You might not do so perfectly, but you can obey them more and more like Jesus obeys the Father, and so be more fruitful. Do you find joy in obeying Jesus and in witnessing? Well, you can find more joy in these things. Do you love other Christians? Do you want to be with them? Are you ready to forgive them when they hurt you? Are you glad to help them when they're in need? Well, I know you are. It's quite obvious that you love one another. And yet, we can love each other even more. Do opportunities to witness thrill you? Yes, sometimes witnessing scares us. But actually, don't you find that when you have that opportunity to talk about someone who wants to know about Jesus, that it thrills your heart? Are you happy to support missionaries and evangelism, to pray for it? You see, if you answer yes, even if it's just one grape, yes, that can increase. We'll come to that in our next point. But even if it's just a tiny bit of fruit, a desire to obey, some love for other Christians, some willingness to be involved in mission, you see something of that fruit in your life? Well, here's the encouragement, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The fruit shows that you're in the true vine. Oh yes, Jesus wants that fruit to grow. The Father wants more fruit. But if you are producing grapes, you are part of the vine. And that's the encouragement. A true disciple will bear this fruit. So ask yourself, do you obey the Lord's word, or does it not mean anything to you? Do you love other Christians, or would you far rather spend your time with non-Christians? Do you love opportunities to witness? Are you thrilled when you hear of people becoming Christians? Are you happy to support missionary work and pray for it? This is fruit. This is spiritual fruit. You show yourself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be connected to Jesus, to have the life of Jesus Christ within you. Thirdly, let's think of how we produce fruit, the challenge that we face. We've looked at the close relationship that we have with Jesus. We've looked at what the spiritual fruit is. Then thirdly, the challenge we face. You see, verse 2 challenges all of us in this room. The Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Let's start with the challenge to the disciple, the one who is producing fruit, the one who needs to produce more fruit. The Father will prune that branch. He will work in you to make you more fruitful. He's not going to give up. He is committed to making you more fruitful spiritually. So let's accept that. I mean, just think of the farmer. He's not going to think, oh, well, you know, I've got a couple of bowlfuls of tomatoes this year. Well, it's not much, but that's okay. No, he wants more than that. You grow vegetables, you always want more. He wants to see greater obedience. He wants to see more love in you. He wants to see more joy in tougher, more difficult circumstances than you've ever faced. He wants you to show more fruit in witness and as you support evangelism. Now, pruning does not sound pleasant for the branch, but it's the thing that will make the branch more fruitful. And this is always the pattern. We learn more in trials. We grow through hardship. There's no other way. There's no sort of quick fix to Christian maturity or fruitfulness. In 1888, Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of the China Inland Mission, he was traveling to America and recruiting more people to join the mission. And in 1888, he was coming from Vancouver in Canada with some new missionaries who were going to sail with him to China. And while they were just docked in one place, and news came that two missionaries back in China had died tragically. One from rabies, having been bitten by a dog. And, you know, not just of old age, this was tragic. In the midst of their ministries. And then when they arrived, they heard of another missionary who had just died. And soon after, there were two missionaries who became seriously ill. And the mission where he lived, it became almost like a hospital. And Hudson Taylor wrote this: "We are passing through wave after wave of trial. Each day has its full quota. The strain is almost unbearable." But he also noted that the spiritual life within the mission was at a higher level than he had ever known. And there were more conversions being reported in different regions of China than they had ever known. God prunes the hardship, the pain, but that's how God brings more fruitfulness. And so Jesus constantly here in John 15 urges us to remain in him. Verse 4, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Now what does it mean to remain? Because this is key for us being spiritually fruitful. Well, it starts with his word. Verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you." There's no spiritual growth without Christ's words. Go on reading your Bible. Go on listening to sermons. Go on engaging in Bible study. Go on talking about God's word. But don't just stop there. We're not simply to fill our minds with a greater biblical knowledge. It's not about, you know, if we had to do a biblical knowledge quiz, you know, coming top. It's not that at all. because the word has to be responded to. We have to believe it, and that's not always easy. And we have to express that belief in two ways. We have them so clearly in what Jesus tells us here. Firstly, in prayer, and secondly, in obedience. Verse 7 again, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You believe his word, then you'll pray. Expression of your faith in his word is that you'll pray to him. And you'll also obey. Verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. You see, true faith will always show itself in both prayer and obedience. Merely knowledge in our heads, the ability to do well in a biblical knowledge quiz, that's no good. That's not enough. It's not about that knowledge. It's about believing his word and expressing that faith in prayer and obedience. And Jesus then encourages us to pray. Verse 7, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And Jesus encourages us to pray not just through his words, but through his example. Throughout these chapters, as Jesus speaks to his disciple on that last evening before he was arrested, he's forever talking about his example of how he relates to the Father. That's how they should relate to the Father. And of course, he ends it with his prayer. And they hear this prayer. And this is how he wants them to pray. So he tells us what to ask for, and he shows us what to ask for. We looked at more of this 2 or 3 weeks ago, about praying. That's then the challenge to those who are bearing fruit. Jesus would have us bear more fruit. Keep reading his word. Believe it. Show that faith by praying and obeying. But what if you look at your life this morning and you think, well, I don't really love Christians that much. Rather actually spend my time with non-Christians. I prefer my non-Christian friends. I don't want to obey Jesus' word. I don't really care. I certainly don't want others to become Christians. I'm not going to witness. And there's some somber words that Jesus has here. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. There's no use for them. They're not bearing fruit. There's no use for them. If his words don't remain in you, you won't bear fruit. You won't become like Jesus. If you get used to ignoring his words, not obeying them, not believing them, really, you'll become no better than dead wood. You can't go blaming others for that. You can't blame God. You can't blame the gardener, if he gets rid of fruitless branches. You know, the batsman who never scores any runs can't complain that he's not chosen for the team. The person who calls himself a striker but never scores a goal is just deluding themselves. Are you fruitful? You can't become a fruitful branch on your own. It's not about trying harder. You need to be united to the vine. You need to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. How do you get into that relationship with Jesus Christ? Hear his words. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. Admit that you've been getting it wrong. Admit that your life is spiritually fruitless. That there's no evidence that you really belong to Jesus. That you're part of the true vine. But don't give up. Because you can listen to his words and you can believe them. And you can start praying. And you can start asking him, Lord, change me. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask that he would unite you to himself and make you fruitful. Ask him to help you to obey his word. Pray. Pray for the fruit that you might be his. There's a challenge then for all of us. For some of us, it's the challenge that the Lord is going to prune us. Now, pruning may be difficult. It may be difficulty in our health. It may be difficulty in our relationships. It may be difficulty at work. It may be things that no one else is aware of that we struggle with. Like the thorn in the flesh that Paul struggled with that made him more fruitful. Or if you've never produced any fruit, the challenge is to turn from that and to seek after Jesus Christ, to take his word to heart, to believe in him, and to pray to him. Let's pray.